This program was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, Irirangi Tumotu, MPR.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Welcome in to Amazing Grace for another week. We hope and pray that you will be encouraged greatly by the program today. My name's Lynette and I'm joined by my husband Dennis.
Yeah, it's great to be with you today. Great.
Wonderful. Okay, so to start with today, we're going to have a short devotional. And just sharing something that I've been reading, I've challenged myself and the high school students that I work with once a week to spend half an hour quality time reading the Bible in order to get to know God and to ask Him to show Him what He wants to say to us. And I've been reading Mark. And I was reading the other day this verse. Jesus is saying, "So he went everywhere preaching the good news of the kingdom of God, and he said, 'The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel.'" And when you ask yourself, what is that time he's talking about? He's talking about a time prophecy that's back in Daniel, and part of it goes like this. Talking about know and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, and that was talking about Jesus coming. And another thing about what Jesus fulfilled was that in verse 26 it says, "Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself." He was going to be killed, but not for himself, for each and every one of us, taking the price of sin. But the thing that jumped out at me before those verses was verse 23 of Daniel 9. And it says, "I have come," this is an angel speaking, "I have come to tell you, you are greatly beloved. You are greatly loved." The angel said that to Daniel. And that is what he's saying to you, my friend, today, and to me. You're greatly loved, so greatly loved that God would die for you. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your awesome love, your amazing grace, not just in words, but in coming and giving your all, Jesus. We ask that you will guide our lips, that you'll speak to our hearts today. In your name, amen. Now we're going to have a nice song. So that's a really tremendous song by Keith Green, The Lord is My Shepherd, Psalms 23. So now we're going to have our health tip for the day. And I'm reading, remember, from the book Live More Happy by Dr. Darren Morton. And we are looking at the chapter Food Feeds Your Mood. So why can choosing a plant slant to our diet give our limbo a lift, is the question. Why? Remember, what is our limbo? Our limbo is the part of our brain that is the centre of emotion and feelings and also the centre of happiness. So why can it give our limbo a lift to choose a plant slant diet? It turns out there are many reasons, but it is here that we enter the problem. Darren Morton says, I have with nutrition research. It gets finicky and complex. Nutrition researchers are always trying to drill down to the fine details of what particular nutrient in a particular food has what effect that has in a particular effect. It seems it is not enough to know that blueberries are really good for us. Nutrition researchers want to know what particular ingredient in blueberries, of the thousands they contain, is the one thing that does the good. But scientists are slowly coming to the realization that there is no one thing. There are many things. Blueberries are so health-giving because of a myriad of things they contain and how those myriad of things interact and work together. Note that I'm only using blueberries as an example, he says. Other plant foods are just as nutritious. Studies have consistently shown that if you isolate a particular vitamin or nutrient thought to be some kind of magic bullet, then give it as a supplement to people in isolation, it usually isn't helpful at all. And in some cases, is actually harmful. That's amazing, isn't it? What researchers are realizing is that whole foods are the way to go. Of course, I understand that some people like to drill down to the nitty-gritty. If you're one of them, here are some of the reasons it is thought plant-based diets can be mood lifters. They are low in arachidonic acid, high in folate, have anti-inflammatory properties, are rich in antioxidants, and there are literally hundreds of these, contain human neurotransmitters such as serotonin and promote beta glycemic control. Sorry about that, folks. Personally, I like to keep it simple, he says, the doctor. So I would like to offer one simple approach to eating nutritiously for feeling great. But before I do, he says, let me share one of the most fascinating areas of current medical research that will highlight why the approach I offer works wonders for our limbo. The biggest part of you. If I were to ask, what is the biggest part of our body, how would you respond? The biggest part of us is actually our gut. I know that fact is not exactly conducive to a healthy self-esteem, he says, but let me explain. Gut is not actually a slang term. That there is a medical journal that even goes by that name. Our gut or gastrointestinal tract is more than 9 metres or 30 feet long, and its inside lining has a surface area of 20 to 100 times greater than our skin. That is amazing facts there. But here is the truly outstanding part. We have at least 100 trillion bacteria in our gut, roughly 10 times more than the number of human cells we have in our entire body. So what was that number again? At least 100 million bacteria in our gut. I hate to break the news to you, Dr. Darren Morden says, but you are more bacteria than human. The study of these bacteria is one of the most intriguing frontiers of medical research. It is now known that the health of our gut and its bacteria has a profound effect on our overall health and well-being. More than 70% of our immune system is distributed around our gut. More than 70% of our immune system is in our gut. Obviously, there are a lot of nasties that pass through our gastrointestinal tract that our body needs to defend itself against. So it is not surprising to learn that the health of an individual's gut bacteria is now linked to numerous conditions, including allergies, diabetes, Crohn's disease, certain cancers, and even autism. Our gut bacteria are now known to affect our predisposition to obesity. Certain bacteria have a tendency to harvest more energy from the foods we consume, and the more energy we absorb, the more likely we are to become overweight. Some interesting facts there, isn't that? So, yes, that's our health tip for today. And now we're having this song. Let me see if I can remember what it's about. It is by Casting Crowns, The Voice of Truth.
Climb out of this boat and then under the crashing waves, to step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown, where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand. But the waves are calling out my name and they laugh at me, reminding me of all the times I tried before and failed. The waves, they keep on telling me time and time again, boy, you never win. You never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says this is for my glory. Choose to listen and believe the voice of truth. Oh, what I would do to have the kind of strength it takes to stand before a giant with just a sling and a stone. Surrounded by the sound of a thousand warriors shaking in their armor, wishing they'd have had the strength to stand. But the giant's calling out my name and he laughs at me, reminding me of all the times I tried before and failed. The giant keeps on telling me time and time again, boy, you'll never win. You'll never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling choose to listen and believe the voice of truth.
But the stone was just the right size to put the giant on the ground. And the waves, they don't seem so high. On top of them looking down, I'll soar with the wings of evil. When I stop and listen to the sound of Jesus singing, oh, don't love me.
The voice of truth that tells me a different story. The voice of truth says do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe. I will choose to and believe the voice of truth. I will listen and believe. I will listen and believe the voice of truth. I will listen and believe, 'cause Jesus, you are.
The voice of truth. Jesus, you are the voice of truth. So now we're going to have our section on Revelation. Thank you, Dennis.
Right. It's great to be with you folks, and we're talking about the best book in the world, which is the Bible. It's the book that is inspired by God. And I was reading in the introduction of a study Bible, and this is what it said. The Apostle Apostle John wrote this work, the book of Revelation, while banquished to the island of Patmos because of his faith. In it, he describes visions he received to comfort Christians suffering for their faith. It is a graphic, symbolic, and ultimately glorious visions of Christ's victory over sin, evil, and death. It also depicts the incredible joy and freedom we will experience in heaven. And as you read this book, let your mind develop a fresh picture of our higher power, the God of the Bible. I just thought that was really good. The Bible is a really interesting book, and especially I love the Bible. I read it every day, and it has a really wonderful message. It's full of hope for everyone. No matter what their situation, there's hope for everyone. But in Revelation, you've got three main groups, end-time confederacy. You've got the saints, you've got the secular forces, and you've got the religious forces. Now, the book of Revelation is full of symbols, but when you understand the symbols, then it makes a lot of sense. So under the saints, you have the title of remnant, or 144,000, the great crowd, the watchful, the clothed, the called, the chosen, the faithful. So all the way through Revelation, you have those terms for the saints. Now, for the secular thought forces, you have Euphrates. So these are the secular forces. These are the symbols for the secular forces. Euphrates, kings of the earth, many waters, earth dwellers, the beast, the ten horns, the cities of the nations, the seven mountains, and the seven kings. And the religious forces are Babylon, the great city, the great prostitute, and their unholy trinity, and the woman. So when you understand those symbols, it really makes a lot of sense. And I think we're going to have a break, aren't we? We're going to have a break? 1 minute. So the last time we were here, that I was sharing a few thoughts, was from Revelation 7, and it's talking about those who were sealed, because the question at the end of 6, which is the end of this world, the second coming of Jesus, and it says, for the great day of his wrath has come, and who's going to be able to stand? And then you get into Revelation 7, and it's those people who are sealed, they are the ones that are going to stand. So we're going to have a break, right, and we'll come back.
If you're a fan of NPR, listening to our podcasts and live stream has never been easier. Just search for accessmedia.nz on the App Store or Google Play and download the app with the kiwifruit logo. Once you've got it, pick Manawatu People's Radio from the list of stations and go find your new favourite show. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.
Right, it's sorry about that. We it's good to be back, and we're going through the book of Revelation and trying to make it easy to understand. Now, before the break, I mentioned about in Revelation 6:17 that question: who's going to be able to stand when Jesus comes? And let's say, it's a challenging thought. Who will be able to stand? And I read, I wrote down, I got this from a commentary on the book of Daniel, Daniel 12 and verse 12, and it's talking about the coming of Jesus, and it says, "Happy is the person who witnesses the dramatic events of the closing scenes of Earth's history." Right, and that's going to be a glorious, glorious event for all those who are sealed by God's Spirit. Now, in chapter 7, it's all about the sealing. So I'll just read verse 3 again, and it says here, "Do not harm the land or the sea or the trees until we put a seal on the foreheads of the servants of our God." And then the next verse, 4, says, "He heard the number, and the number was 144,000. And like I was saying, 144,000, that's talking about the saints, the saints. But then he looked. So often you hear in the book of Revelation, and then you see. You see. So in verse 9, "I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count from every nation, tribe, people, and language standing before the throne." Right, and then when you go down to verse 13, if you've got a Bible and if you have a look, verse 13 and 14.
Can I ask, Dennis, what chapter it is in Revelation again?
Chapter 7.
Thank you.
Chapter 7. So we're looking at chapter 7, and I'm just going to read verses 13 and 14. "Then one of the elders asked me, 'These in white robes, who are they, and where do they come from?' And I answered, 'So you know.' And he said, 'These are they who have come out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne. They serve him day and night in the temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. They will never again will they hunger. Never again will they be thirsty. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the centre of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." So they're going to have tears, aren't they? So, see, they've come out of great tribulation. So this is this great multitude. This is the ones who are sealed. Now, remember, I don't know if you remember, but I read, if I remember rightly, from Ezekiel 9, and it's verse 4, and it says, "And the Lord said to him, 'Go through the midst of the city and through the midst of Jerusalem, put a mark on the foreheads of the men who sigh and cry over all the abominations that are done in the done within it.'" And in my Bible, we've got a reference to Revelation 7, verse 2 and 3, and 9, Revelation 9 and verse 4, and Revelation 14:1. So that seal is really important. Really, really important. Right. So last time I was talking about the seal, and the seal is you receive it when you believe. Now in the Bible there was two kinds of belief. There is the belief of the demons. The demons believe and tremble, right? So it's a mental believing, right? They know that God exists. And look, there's probably millions of people in this world know that Jesus exists, right? But the true believing is a commitment. It's a trust in God. It's giving one's life to God. It's choosing to have God in your life. That's what the real believing is. To all who receive him, to those who believe on his name, he gives the right to become the sons and daughters of God. And so, like it says in Ephesians 1, Ephesians 1. I'm just looking it up in my Bible. It never goes there fast enough, times like this. But Ephesians 1 and verse 13 and 14, it says, "To him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." Right? So when you trusted, or when you believe, you received the Holy Spirit, who is, verse 14, who is the guarantee of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. So we have to have the Holy Spirit. So when we believe, when we commit our lives to God, we receive the Holy Spirit. That is most important. Without the Holy Spirit, we cannot please God and we're not his children. That's what it says in Romans 8 and verse 9. So having the Holy Spirit in your life is really important. Jesus said, "You must be born of water," which is baptism, "and of the Holy Spirit." The Holy Spirit is the seal that we are God's children. So this is the inward seal of God and is reflected in the divine character more and more by the fruits of the Spirit. So we say because of what Jesus did at Calvary, but it's our acceptance of that and inviting Jesus into our life. Now, last time I just briefly mentioned about the outward seal. Now, the outward seal, everyone will be keeping the outward seal before Jesus comes. And it has to do with the commandments. I read Revelation 12 and verse 17, and it says, "Then the dragon became angry at the woman being the true church, and he declared war against the rest of her children, all who keep God's commandments," right, "and confess that they belong to Jesus." Right, there's two things here. These people, the 144,000, or the saints, the woman, are God's children, right? The God's children, the rest of God's children who keep God's commandments. So when it says they keep God's commandments, that means the 10 of them, not 9 of them. Most people have no problem with 9, but it's the most, well, they're all important, very important, but one of them most people struggle with, the fourth commandment. So in Revelation 14 and verse 12, it says, "Let this encourage God's people to endure persecution patiently and remain firm to the end, obeying his commands and trusting in Jesus." See, obeying the commandments and trusting in Jesus. So the outward seal, the only place that you can find the outward seal is made up of three things. It's the name, the territory, and the title. If a government, a king, anyone that's got a seal, they've got to have those three things. They've got to have their name, they've got to have their territory, and their title. For instance, the King of England, right? That's his title, his territory, Great Britain, and Great Britain, the title. So you've got to have those. You've got to have the three things: the name, the territory, and the title, King of England. Right. I hope I've explained that well enough. Let's go over it. I haven't got it written down, but so the name, right? The King of England, King George or whoever. Great Britain and its territory, and he's king. But when it comes to God, for instance, the name, the territory, he's the creator of heaven and earth, and he's the Lord. So the Lord God, the territory, heaven and earth, and his title, he's the creator. Right, there's only one place anyhow that you can get those three things, and it's in the fourth commandment. The fourth commandment, and I'll just read it to you. The name is in two of the other commandments, but only the three things are in the fourth commandment. So this is what it says. It says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your sons nor your daughters, nor your maidservants, nor your female servants, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. Now, see, the reason is, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and all that is in them, and he rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the seventh day and hallowed it. Right. So you've got the three things of a seal. You've got the three things. So the name, the Lord thy God, the territory, heaven and earth, and the creator. Now, you won't find those three things in any of the other commandments. You will find the name, and I think it's two or three of those other commands. And so what we're saying is the outward seal is the keeping of the commandments, and especially the fourth commandment. Now, the reason why the fourth commandment, it's the longest commandment, and it's really important. The reason is because, see, when God created the world, he rested, and then he blessed the day, he made it holy. It's the only day he made holy, right? Because it's the memorial that he created the world. But it's the same pattern when you come to the time of the cross. Jesus died on the sixth day. He actually died on the sixth hour. He rested on the seventh hour. He rested on the seventh day. And then he rose, the glorious resurrection on the first day of the week. Now, a lot of people say, well, we keep Sunday in honour of the resurrection, but you can't find that in the Bible. It doesn't say that. It's an idea that's come down from tradition. So keeping the fourth commandment is really important, and especially when we get to the final events. Well, it's important now if you know it's right. So that's the outward seal. The outward seal, because God's people are going to be keeping all of the commandments, and which includes every one of them, including the fourth one. Anyhow, we're going to have a break and we'll come back.
And thou my true word,
We're talking about the mark or the seal in Revelation 7. Now, you know, a shepherd, he marks his sheep. Farmers do it. They put tags in the ears. Kings mark their property. See, and God puts his Holy Spirit into his people, and there will be evidence of the grace of God in one's life. Must be. If we are born again, if the Holy Spirit lives within us, there will be evidence of the grace of God. So before the break, I was mentioning about the outward seal is the fourth commandment. And gradually over time, it has got lost. And most churches and most professed Christians keep Sunday. But I'll just share a wee bit here. How it was changed, and its history reveals that it was because of political and social pressure that the Sabbath was gradually abandoned for Sunday. Long after the time of the apostles, severe anti-Jewish attitude developed in the Roman world during the first and second century. As acts of repression, the Romans outlawed circumcision, sacrificing, keeping the Sabbath and other Jewish practices. Consequently, the Christians, particularly at Rome, found it expedient to put as much distance as possible between them and the Jews to demonstrate to the Romans that they were not Jewish. And you can understand that, can't you? So the Jews were stirring up, and the Romans were sick of it, you know, and they went down to Jerusalem AD 70 and wiped Jerusalem out. And so they outlawed many of the things that the Jews were doing. So, see, the Christians wanted to put as much distance between the Jews and themselves, and to demonstrate to the Romans that they were not Jews. One way of doing it was to work on Sabbath, Saturday, the Sabbath, the fourth commandment, and Sunday, which was already used by the Romans as a holiday, was a convenient substitute. So these things happened gradually, and then when Constantine officially recognised Christianity in the 4th century, he put the power of the empire behind Sunday observance. And in the centuries that followed, the first day of the week became firmly entrenched as the Christian Sabbath, and even the Protestant reformers could not lodge it, though they claimed their authority to be the Bible and the Bible only. So Sunday observance was adopted for the sake of political expedience and is based solely on church tradition. The seventh-day Sabbath, on the other hand, is rooted firmly in the authority of God's word. Which is your source of authority? So today, Sunday is purely a creation of the Roman Catholic Church. Now, here's a quote from the Roman Catholic Church, the American Catholic Quarterly Review, January 1883, page 139. What are the days which the Church commands to keep holy? Sunday, which we observe by tradition instead of the Sabbath. What warranty do you have to keep Sunday preferably to ancient Sabbath, which was said day. We have for the authority the Roman Catholic Church, and the Catholic Church instructed why we observe. Why do we observe Sunday instead of Saturday? We observe Sunday instead of Saturday because the Catholic Church in the Council of Laodicea 363 transferred the sovereignty from Saturday to Sunday. So this is what the Catholic Church says. So that's just a very brief. But if you just go online, you will find these things. Just go onto Google, you'll get all sorts of things. You'll get both sides there. But weigh it up with the Bible. And, it's very clear. So what I would like to do is talk about, about the Holy Spirit in our life. I'd like to finish with that. This is really important because the evidence for the Holy Spirit in their life is it is really important because the Bible says that if we don't have the Holy Spirit, we are none of His. I always remember about the Holy Spirit and about in Psalms 51, where David said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God," cries out for purity of heart, and then he says, "Take not your Holy Spirit from me." So the Holy Spirit can be taken from us, right? If we willfully, persistently grieve the Holy Spirit will leave us. That's what the Bible says, right? So how can we know that we have the Holy Spirit? And I just want to share some thoughts on that. And just got to find my notes. let me say, it says you must be born of water, born of the Spirit. It's John 3. We must be born of the Spirit, and our hearts must be renewed by divine grace, or it will be in vain to seek for purity of life. Now, I read a sermon by George Whitfield, who said that many are baptized with water, but they're not baptized with the Holy Spirit. So we must be. In Acts 19:2, Paul asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believe?" And they didn't know anything about it. Right. And Paul preached to them, and they received the Holy Spirit, and they were rebaptized. Now, Martin Luther said, "Before God, man is justified through faith alone, without all works, but outwardly and publicly before people and himself, he is justified through works." This is what James 2:26 means. Faith without works is dead. Right. So can one believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to the saving of soul and not know it? Can we pass from death unto life and be delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son and not know it? They know whom they have believed. That's what it says in the Bible. They know that their Redeemer lives. They know they have passed from death to life. They know that all things work together for good. One thing I know, that I was blind, but now I see. So the evidence, what is the evidence that the Holy Spirit is in their life? Now, I read this about a young girl. She was 14 years of age, and she was asked before she got baptized, "What reason have you to believe you are a child of God?" Now, that's a really good question, isn't it? And she replied, because I have the witness of the Spirit within me, showing me my nothingness, my sinfulness, and my all-sufficient fullness of Jesus as my Saviour. Right? So the first sign that we're born again is that we see our need of Christ. We see our need. We realise our spiritual poverty, and we hunger and thirst after righteousness. Now, there's so much more I could share on that thought, but I have to leave it. I have to leave it. It's been great sharing with you, and God bless you. Please read the book of Revelation and the Bible. It's the best book in the world. It's full of hope for you and me. God bless you.
Thank you, Dennis. Really very interesting, and as that song was, the voice of truth. We need to follow and believe the voice of truth. So just before we go, just a reminder that here at Amazing Grace, we would love to pray for you on or off air. And you can contact us on text 0226815216 or email at info@mpr.nz. info@mpr.nz. And we do have a couple of giveaways. One of them is the book Signs, which you'll find here in the local takeaways in Palmerston North. A great punchy little book with articles on health and family and issues we face in life today. And the other book, which you can get by sending a text or an email, is the book Steps to Christ, which is a very powerful little book indeed. So before we go, let's have a closing prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your amazing grace. We ask your blessing on the one who listens now, and we thank you that you are the voice of truth. In Jesus' name, amen. So from Dennis and myself here at Amazing Grace today, we pray you will grow in grace. May the love of the Father, Father God, and the grace of Jesus and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. God bless until next time. Bye for now. Was blind, but now I